Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the best of the Eagles on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Well, Seth, let's get to the Eagles, and we'll keep it on the short side because we got so many callers wanting to get in here on the Phils. But let me just tee up this question to you. My main takeaway from last night is I think the Eagles might miss the playoffs. I'm not predicting that they definitively will, but it's the first time I thought they might miss it. I mean, they're not good right now, and they got major injuries that have set in. And frankly, I thought they got exceedingly lucky with winning multiple games they won. CeeDee Lamb drops, Kelsey drop, Jordan Davis blocks a kick. I mean, they could flat out be like 1-5 right now. They've been outgained in every game this year in yards, 0-6 in that regard. So I actually now think it's on the table they might miss the playoffs. Do you agree with me?
Listen, I know how hard it is to win games from week to week, so I'm not going to belittle the games that they won because they won them. No matter what the circumstances are, you know, you win how you win. It's hard to win. But they're in trouble. They're in trouble because the players see the problems that the coaches can't identify. Okay? And the players are struggling to play it to the level that they need to. The offensive and defensive lines are a shadow of what they were. The quarterback is, I don't know whether it's injuries, you know, philosophies. Well, I think on the defensive side of the ball, we're just not as good as, you know, we think we are. On the offensive side, you can put some of it on, you put some of it on injury, but when I watch Jordan Mailata get pushed back, you know, in the backfield by a guy that he outweighs by damn near 100 pounds, when I see Cam Jurgens just get destroyed on every run play, pushed back in the backfield 3 to 4 yards, you know, when I see Tyler Steen, you know, miss blocks because his angle was bad. You know, that kind of stuff, that's on the players, you know? I mean, where's the want to? And then, you know, just – and Jalen missing, you know, plays that he should make. Listen, when you hear Jalen talk about execution, when you hear –
I hear that every week.
Yeah, when you hear Devontae Smith talk about being on the same page, and then you hear Lane Johnson, of all people, talk about predictability. These are things, John, that, you know, I've been talking about from game one. And Jalen talking about getting better and Nick Sirianni talking about getting better. Well, guess what? You played 6 games and you haven't gotten one iota better. The play calling hasn't gotten better. The players haven't gotten better. And everybody talk about the 2023 collapse. No, 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 no. You know what this is starting to look like? This is starting to look like 2018 after Doug Peterson lost.
Wow.
Won the Super Bowl. Okay? The 2018 after Doug Peterson won the Super Bowl, and by the time you got to 2019, he was out the door and we had a whole new coach. Wow. A whole new staff, whole new quarterback. This is what that looks like. If they don't get their heads out of the, you know what.
That's quite a comparison. Seth, we'll do a much deeper dive with you on Monday, my man. I appreciate you carving out a few minutes today, and Monday we'll do the full hour in studio, man. Thanks so much, Seth.
You got it, guys.
All right, there he is. So, Ellie, let's get to the Eagles, and I want to keep it on the short side because I really want to prioritize getting as many callers on today as we can. But quickly on the Eagles, two things. One is last night was the first time this year I thought they might miss the playoffs. And I came up with an accounting of who played in the Super Bowl that didn't play last night, and it's an astounding list. And I'll just say this. It's like, to me, it feels like the only guy they added was Jahad Campbell. Like, adding some of these scrub cornerbacks doesn't count as adding something. That's just filling a spot. That's not adding someone quality. Here's who they're playing without. Jalen Carter, the shortest of the short-term injuries. Quinyon Mitchell's probably going to miss multiple weeks now. Nolan Smith's going to miss a month. Landon Dickerson's probably going to miss a month. Milton Williams, Josh Sweat, Brandon Graham, Darius Slay, Isaiah Rogers, CJ GJ, Mekhi Becton, and Kenny Gainwell all aren't coming back. I'm telling you, Elliot, when I see how they were lucky to win the games they won in September, I look at this team and say they could miss the playoffs legitimately. Your reaction?
Yeah, I think the season is in serious trouble. And just being in the locker room, being around the team over the past 2 weeks, I would say, you can sense it. Like, they know they're not playing well. And I thought for the first time last night, I felt a little bit of a feeling of, like, they don't know if they can fix it. Like it just going through the motions, saying the same things after the game. Yeah, we know we'll get better. It's execution, one block away. It's like, you know, just saying it to say it at this point. I'm not saying they're not trying.
Sure.
I believe that they're trying down there. But it just feels exactly like 2023. Like, it's reliving 2023 just with different names. And I thought what was so telling about last night, again, if you want to, like, compare to the Phillies, like, 2 days ago, I would have said the Phillies were the team that wouldn't show up. The Eagles flat out did not show up last night. And I heard you say, Joe, a little bit when I was on hold, like, they might just not be good. And you're right. Like, I do think you're correct about that. But part of that is you never see a Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts team get, like, pushed around the way they did last night. The quote I kept thinking of was when they went to Baltimore last year, and the big talking point going into the game was, could the Eagles handle the Ravens' physicality? And then Nick came out after the game and said, no, they had to handle our physicality.
Right.
Like, where's that mentality? Like, the Giants are bad. Like, they are a bad team. The Eagles made the Giants look good. And it's just shocking to me that the way it happened was just getting pushed around at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I disagree largely, Elliot. I really do. Because I think it's the lack of players, the guys I just referenced, the 15 or so guys not being there, that's why I think you interpret it the way you did. I just don't think the guys out there. And by the way, Makuba's given up like a touchdown every game now. I mean, I don't want to say he's a disaster. Maybe he'll turn into a good player in future years, but he is hurting them now. And I thought he was horrendous last night.
So, it's funny. I mostly agree with you, despite the fact you're saying you disagree. Like, they might just not be good. But at the same time, like, think about this, right? If Jalen Hurts, the franchise quarterback, has a clean pocket and hits a wide-open Devontae, like, they maybe win that game. Who knows, right? They weren't playing well. But they go up. They have momentum. And, like, while the role players they've brought in have not been great, they're great players haven't been great either. Like, Jalen has not been good this year. There's been moments where he's looked okay, but if you were to say, has Jalen been more closer to a bad season or a good season, he's way closer to a bad season at this point. I mean, that interception last night, that was so uncharacteristically Jalen. So, yes, I think the coaches, who I'm sure we'll get into on a non-Phillies day, like, they need to be better. But the reason I think the coaches need to be better is this is so far beyond scheme. Like, running it more from under center is not fixing this. This team has, like, fundamental problems right now that the coaches hold responsibility for figuring out.
All right, bud. Elliot, we'll talk to you a lot more about it next week, obviously, as we do a deeper dive. Thanks for being a big part of the program. See you, bud.
Yep, talk to you, sir.
All right, Elliot Sure Parks. Let's get to the Eagles. Horrible game last night. And, you know, my biggest takeaway is it's the first time. I thought it was entirely obvious in the middle of the third quarter Eagles were going to lose the game, and it got only worse from there. It was the first time this year where I really started thinking they might miss the playoffs. I mean, based on players they lost in free agency, lack of players that they brought in other than Jahad Campbell, an offense that just cannot put together 60 minutes, and now a bunch of injuries that have set in, from Nolan Smith to Landon Dickerson to Quinyon Mitchell and others. I have real worry that they may miss the playoffs. Do you? Is that starting to rattle through your mind?
No. But, you know, we have to stop evaluating the Eagles as they were and evaluate them as what they are. Mm-hmm. And they have not been what they were in any game this year. They were fortunate to go into that game with a win loss, four wins. We all know that. You don't have mm-hmm. to be a genius to figure it out. But they were good enough to get those wins, not playing four quarters of football. And eventually that catches up with you. And sure. the injuries, those kind of things, and playing the Giants there, I thought the kids played hard. I thought the Eagles played hard, represented the city well that way. But physically, right now, we're not a real good football team. And the Giants were not a real good football team, but they were better last night.
How big a problem is predictability with our offense, Coach?
Oh, I don't know. I know Jalen was at one time, 14 for 15? He couldn't yeah. throw an incomplete if he wanted to. No, I don't know. I just, sometimes you run out of good calls. Your scheme gets eliminated as you move through your game plan, and the second part of your game plan sometimes is not as good as your first part of your game plan. Yeah. And sometimes in game planning, you got to save some real gems for the second half. I always tried to. I just didn't have enough real gems.
Why did it feel like our tackling was so much worse yesterday? That Scataboo guy and this Jackson Dart, we couldn't get him on the ground.
Well, we weren't playing with a full defensive line. Mm-hmm. You take Carter out of that defensive line, it's like taking three starters out of there. You know, he occupies a lot of offensive people to keep him out of a play, and he still makes plays. So you lose a guy like that, it's the percentage of plays that he normally affects negatively that he doesn't get credit for. And all of a sudden, they're not there, you know, and yeah. it magnifies the pressure on other players to make plays that they're supposed to make.
Coach, we love having you on the program, and we appreciate your willingness and ability, of course, to talk Phillies with us today and Eagles always. Hopefully next week they get back on track, and we'll preview the next game when we talk to you next Friday. Thank you, Dick.
All right, take care.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Eagles went to New York yesterday, went to MetLife. Bros, what the hell was that? So of all the outcomes, so let me take you through my night last night, because we did the pregame show, then I went home, and I actually texted you right as about the right as the Phillies game was ending, or you know, right around that time. So I had a choice on my ride home last night. I could try to like go back and forth on the radio, or I'm like, all right, I got to lock in on the Phillies, right? Mm-hmm. It's like I got in the car, it was the seventh inning. It was right around the time that Duran came in. I'm like, all right, the whole ride home, I'm listening to the Phils. And then I happen to get home 10th inning. So I'm like, all right, I'm just going to sit down and watch the Phils. I was totally in the Eagles dark. And then I had a choice as I put the Phillies on my TV when I got home in extra innings. Do I put the other TV on the Eagles and just start catching up right away? Or do I wait? And I was like, you know what? It's going to be a late night, but I'll wait. I want to absorb this and then I'll get to the Eagles and they're probably going to win. So we're fine. So I wait. So I go through the heartbreak of the Phillies, then I turn the Eagles game on, and I'm like, this isn't good. This is not what we expected. And then
you innocently texted me, like, just starting the third quarter. I was like, oh, enjoy.
Yeah, and I knew by that something bad was about to happen.
Poor fella.
What did I watch last night? They got their ass kicked by a team. The Giants have the worst weapons in the league. I mean, they have Cam Scataboe. What's the guy's name? Little Jordan or whatever his name is, Humphrey. I mean, that team shouldn't be. They just lost the Saints. What did we watch last night?
It was gross. And I have to say, Jalen, I mean, you sucked. And that hurts me to say, okay? That is very painful for me to say. But I thought Jalen was awful. But it goes a lot deeper than that. Nick Sirianni is losing control of this right now. Their offensive coordinator is a mess. I mean, all these guys that study the All-22 at a high level and all, I mean, they point out Dan Orlovsky mid-game. I know exactly what's coming. Every time Saquon's lined up this way, it's a run. Every time he's lined up this way, it's a pass. So you have the issues with just schematics and how poor it is. You have offensive linemen that don't deserve to be out there, and we're not used to that, but holy hell, is this a drop-off? You have Ringo, who I never want to see put on an Eagles uniform again. There's a clear guy on the ground that beat you in coverage. You don't even touch him. You're fixing your gloves. I mean, it's embarrassing. Put your hands on him. He gets up. He runs an extra 5 yards. This team's not detailed. There's no structure. They got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, we got to have an honest conversation here about what the Eagles are right now. They have been outgained and have fewer first downs in all six games.
They're broken.
That's bad team stuff. I mean, let's just be real. We looked at them, and we came into the year with this, like, we're above the NFL now, right? There's no regression. The Eagles are in this different stratosphere than everybody else.
That was Super Bowl syndrome.
That was total Super Bowl syndrome. The league has gotten them right back. And it's, look, the season's not over. They can recover. They got a long way to go. But right now, they're not a very good football team. I mean, they don't. I said it this morning. Do they do anything well? They don't stop the run well. They don't stop the pass well. They don't throw it well. They don't run it well. I mean, they're in some trouble here. I mean, this has not looked good. And, bros, the first 5 weeks, it was like, all right, Chiefs and Cowboys and Dak Prescott and Stafford, and I even think the Broncos are going to turn out to be a good team. The Bucs are good with Baker. We kind of like, all right, you know, tough schedule. The Giants are not a good football team. That was a quarterback making his third start. They have very few players on the offense worth a damn. And yeah, they have a defensive line, but to lose by 17 to that team?
Gross. They outworked you. They outcompeted you. They wanted it more than you. Jahad Campbell meeting Dart at the sticks, and he kind of lays up Adoree Jackson at the goal line. He lays up.
I'm glad you brought up the Adoree Jackson.
Makuba missing tackles. I mean, right now, we can peel back the layers, and I think everybody should be, you know, ready to get blamed. Everyone. Yeah. Jalen, every single person. But when it looks like that, when you can blame everyone, then you got to look at the coach, no? And I like Sirianni, but damn, dude, you can't do anything schematically offensively. That's been your biggest knock. Whenever you are the highest level offensive mind, your offense sucks. So you can't help out Kevin Petullo, and now your team doesn't look detailed. And they're breaking with relationships in the locker room when you stress brotherhood. So what the hell does he do right now? It's starting to fall right on his lap, and he's got to fix this.
Yeah, it. What I saw last night was a broken football team, and they should not be here. Not with the talent. I know they were missing guys last night, and Quinn Young got hurt, which makes it worse, and no Jalen Carter. It can't be that bad. And you brought up Adoree Jackson. I mean, that was Hugh Douglas-level Jacksonville stuff last night. I mean, he didn't want to be there.
Did she do anything for her?
He didn't want to be there. That was one of the worst tackle attempts I have ever seen. All right, can we hear from some of these guys last night? You mentioned the offense, right? The offense and what is going on. Let's hear from Lane Johnson on the Eagles offense after the game.
It could be, but the consistency isn't there, so yeah. I mean, it's not a finger pointing show. I'm with Kevin till the end. You know, a lot of it goes down to execution. So we'll go back and look at this tape and you know, see what we got to get fixed. But moving forward, maybe more efficient, you know, less predictable, and capitalize on big plays and explosives.
Is this something you saw coming after the first month of the season?
What is it?
Is this something you saw coming after the first month of the season?
I mean, we were winning, but we weren't dominating. So, you know, it's frustrating just because, you know, you see the guys we have, you know, the offensive side of the ball. We should be doing a lot more.
So, I mean, there was a lot to unpack there. He said he's riding with Kevin till the end, but then he talks about all the things they're bad at on the offensive side of the football. He did. I mean, a lot of the players are blaming the execution. I think two things can be true at once. We always, you know, we our minds go to blaming someone. Petullo might totally stink, but the players also have been terrible.
Agreed. I think you nailed it. I think the players are playing awful. I don't think they're playing as one. They're not playing like a team.
No.
AJ, whatever he wants to do, and Saquon has to pull him and Jalen together, and Sirianni is... See, the thing that's funny about the CEO stuff, people like to remove blame because Sirianni doesn't do X, Y, and Z.
Well, we don't know what to blame. Yeah. But he's in charge of everything.
Right. When you're a CEO, the job is to make sure the operation runs clean.
Yes.
When it doesn't run clean, the job of the CEO is to step in and fix it. You don't just look around down and go, well, I mean, my job's not to fix it. That's Kevin Petullo. And the problem is, I think Kevin Petullo and Nick Sirianni think the same way.
Of course they do.
And that's an issue. Petullo is overmatched. He's overmatched, is he not?
I think
like
he is.
AJ runs the same three routes. I mean, listen, this is the NFL. It's AJ Brown. That is basic level stuff. I don't know. The whole thing's broken, dude. The whole thing's broken.
Well, listen to this one. This one struck me because it sounds like, you know, we were talking about AJ being frustrated. It sounds like the running back who was the best player in pro football last year is frustrated at the offense and maybe the identity they're going away from. Saquon after the game last night.
I can't say that. I come from the school of thought that, you know, majority of times they're not. You're going to have an opportunity to play. You just got to be in the right spot. If someone misses, they make a play. Like, that's just football. Last year, do you think we're predictable? I mean, everyone knew we were running the ball. We still got it all. So I think we also got to get back into that attitude, too, to that mindset, not really giving a what people are trying to do. That's something that I'm definitely going to.
You don't hear that kind of stuff from Saquon very often.
No.
And I'm starting to wonder if he's looking at this like, wait a second, why did we stop giving me the football to throw the football? I mean, they've thrown the ball in a ridiculous amount the last two games to score 17 points in each game. Like, it just, this is not how they're supposed to play around
here.
Well,
let me ask you this, Julio. If you look at the offensive line play and how bad it is and the, quote, tells that people are seeing out of Saquon, do you think it's a combination of both? Do you think it's the offensive line plays that awful? What would you say the biggest reason is? It Saquon skipping a step after all the workload of last year? Why do you think the run game looks this poor?
I think it's the offensive line mostly, but I also think they're not sticking with it now enough. Like the last two games, why are they? I know they went down big last night, but Sunday against the Broncos, they were up. It just feels like they're giving up on the run. They're deciding we're going to be a throwing team now, and they're not a good throwing team. Like, this is not, they don't have the quarterback. Like, I like Jalen. You know, some people think I don't like Jalen. I like Jalen. But to me, there's a way to win with Jalen Hurts.
Agreed.
And asking him to throw the ball 35 times a game is not the winning formula. This is like the let Jalen cook thing. You guys see what it looks like. It looks like 17 points a week. I said this to you, I think it was off the air. We talked about it on the air. You can win. You can win a lot with Russell. They did, right? And the Eagles can win, and they have one with Jalen Hurts. But I do think there's a formula to do it. There's a way to do it. And when they started to ask Russell to throw the ball 40 times, they stopped winning Super Bowls or getting to them. And now we're doing the last 2 weeks, 38 and 33 throws. And I think it's 9 combined sacks the last 2 weeks. It's not an efficient formula.
Well, I think you hit on it when you talked about how A.J. Brown's pissed. A.J. Brown's not happy. A.J. Brown is loud, and everybody knows how much he's disappointed in this. And we have a young offensive coordinator that wants to make everybody happy.
Yep.
And they're losing the identity of what works with this quarterback. And some may look at that and say, well, then you don't have the right quarterback. But I personally don't, right? Like, everyone was like, wow, look how great Justin Herbert is. And then since the first few weeks, it's kind of... I'm not here to play that game, but I think there is a formula, and they got away from the formula, and that's a problem. Like, you can't.
Yeah.
You know, you can't. You have to have some stones as an OC and as a head coach, and you want to use AJ, right? Like, no one's saying don't use AJ and just win football games without him, but there's got to be a happy medium here where what was going on early is unacceptable, not getting AJ involved, but you can't go this route where it's so pass happy that you lose the identity of what works either.
Yeah, the question I'm starting to have, Kyle, when it comes to the Eagles offense and Jalen Hurts, is if teams caught up to, okay, he does these things particularly well, this is where he struggles, and if there's not a great run game, we can make him do the things he's not good at, and then they're going to struggle.
Isn't this multiple times now where players, I guess, or former players have come out and said, like, there's a blueprint.
Yep.
The blueprint's out. And the pattern is, it's put the ball in Hurts' hands.
Yeah, but Spags did that last year and said, I'll put the ball in your hands, and look what happened. So I don't know. And that's where I get stuck in the pickle where I don't think you're wrong. I think there is something to that, right? If you're going to look at the Eagles, you know, Saquon running it down your throat for 250 yards or daring Jalen to beat you, you take the Jalen thing.
Yeah.
But I just feel sometimes it goes so extreme.
If he does it once at every five games, though, is that enough?
That's what I was just going to say.
On average last year, that's kind of what it was. Once every four or five games, he would just explode.
To answer your question, that is not
enough. Is it fair to just say maybe Hurts is inconsistent?
Well, that's exactly what he is.
And when he it's red hot. It's insane.
Well, and this year it's been half to half, not just game to game. Sure. Last year was game to game, right? Down games, then explode. This year it's been like they haven't scored a point in three straight second halves.
But doesn't that mean something's wrong? You know what I mean? Something's like really wrong.
Yeah, more than something.
Right.
Feels like a lot. Of
but
wrong.
More than just quarterback play. If you can't get points in three consecutive halves.
Sure. It's crazy.
Yeah. I guess, I don't know. This is kind of what I think a lot of us, people like me and Joe, in our faction here, have been saying last season. Like the thing that separates him from the elite quarterbacks.
Their consistency.
Are the consistency. Like Brian Dawkins came on the radio and said, you know, if we see what he does, what he did in the Super Bowl week after week, then go like knock yourself out.
He's one of those guys. Yeah.
That's where you get to that next tier. In my opinion,
I can't disagree with you that it's not there enough. But I guess I'm holding on that it's because there are some guys that don't have it in there, right?
Well, he has it in him.
He's got it in there. So the flashes that I see when I do see it, I hold my hat on because I know even getting to that level in general is extremely hard to do. And we have someone that could, but. Why aren't we getting the consistency with
him? The other issue is if it was just him, I think we could fix that, right? Yeah. He'll find it again. He'll get hot, but it's not just him this time. There's other stuff going on, and that's why, man, it doesn't feel like it's even a 4-2 football team. The way they've looked, they look like a 3-3 or 2-4 team that has a 4-2 record.
1-5.
Yeah, I mean, a couple bounces go the wrong way, and we are in disaster mode around here. Do you want to...
please do this.
Yeah, let's read this.
Please
this is,
do this.
Is this now 2 weeks in a row I'm reading an A.J. Brown tweet on the air? Oh, these are wonderful.
Now, did Kyle and I both send you that at the same time?
Yes.
Okay. We're on it. We're locked in.
All right, we got a tweet here from A.J. Brown sent out about 8 minutes ago. Quote, just to clear this up, that wasn't a meeting or a sit-down. I said I don't recall because it got painted like there was tension and... So had to step in. I got say as in Saquon. Had to step in. That's not true. I was walking to my car, saw them, and stopped to talk. Nothing more.
Well, then that's not a meeting.
That's not a meeting.
So somewhere along the line, either AJ is diminishing what this was, or it got painted to be bigger than what it was.
What in the hell
because Jimmy,
is going
Jimmy
on
Jimmy Kemsky's original report was they talked for hours.
Hours.
So I think AJ's lying. I don't think that Saquon and Jalen made their side of it up. I think they sat down and tried to air this out. And here's AJ playing this card again. That's my gut feel on it.
So Jimmy's a good writer, good reporter.
Very.
From when just following Jimmy over the years, Jimmy's not going to put something out that he didn't hear for real. Like, obviously, it happened clearly. They all acknowledged it. I do wonder if now that this is all out there, did the person who told Jimmy try to tell him so it would look good? You know what I mean? Like maybe it wasn't an hour. Maybe they smoked for 15 minutes, but it was like painted as they had a big meeting.
1,000%. The first thing I thought
now AJ's like, yeah, that really wasn't a big meeting.
Yeah, no. The first thing I thought was whoever gave him that info was to paint the picture that things are moving in the right direction. It was very team friendly. Right. That was my first thought.
Hold on. I'm calling BS on this. Like
now we don't know if anything happened.
Well, no. Like... I'm thoroughly confused because this was it started off as a meeting that lasted a couple hours, right?
That was the original report.
But when Saquon was asked about it and when Jalen was asked about it, it's been presented to them as this meeting you guys had.
Yes.
AJ, what AJ's saying there is
no meeting.
A happenstance conversation in the parking lot. That's not a meeting, right? So if Jalen and Saquon are being asked and say, what happened in this meeting? Wouldn't they say a meeting? Like it wasn't a meeting. Like we just chatted in the parking lot. Like, a meeting to me feels...
You're sitting down.
Yes.
You sit down at meetings.
It's premeditated. Yeah, you set it up.
Yep. There are chairs.
So neither Saquon nor Jalen said a meeting. Like neither of them made it seem like you guys blew it out of proportion. They both said, we want to keep that private. It's about the team. They, like, what... The way they spoke about it was... That was a meeting.
Also, why is he tweeting about this now? Why does he feel the need to throw cold water on the said meeting from four days ago?
Why not at the locker when he was asked about it? He kept saying, I don't recall. I don't recall.
He's got a smirk on his face.
I know. Dude, he's playing the game, man. He's making it more difficult for this team to get back on track. And that bothers me. Whether there's turmoil and maybe he's frustrated, rightfully so. When there is adversity, are you doing everything in your power to make sure this team can get it right? At least try. Of course not. And he's actively on purpose making it worse.
That's got me in a pretzel. I don't know what the hell is going on.
He's making it, but he's doing it on purpose to make it harder for everybody else. That's a problem. That's a real problem.
We are barreling towards a trade request.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I mean, we're counting the days down until he says, I want the hell out of here. I mean, I just don't understand, what's the point of putting this out there the day after a loss? Who is this for?
Maybe himself. Maybe it's to your, but maybe this is him going, I'm getting the hell out of here. Kevin Pitullo stinks. Sirianni stinks. Jalen, he probably thinks stinks, even though I disagree. And that's where we are.
I don't get it.
Yeah, go to Cleveland. And have, who's the Browning? No, that's
No,
that's Cincinnati.
Dylan Gabriel.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, go have fun with Dylan Gabriel. Right. Shut your mouth. I know you guys are going to say something about Jalen. Yeah, I know.
No.
You're going to say Browning's better.
No, I was going to say something about Jalen, but I just, something about the meeting thing. Because I found Elliot asking him about the meeting.
This is asking
question and answer to Jalen about the meeting.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you tell us about that meeting and why it happened?
Yeah, I mean, it's just us talking about the collective, talking about taking ownership for what we can and talking about how we move forward as a team so we continue to find ways to win games.
Why the need for a meeting, do you think?
It's really just teammates being teammates.
What was your takeaway and conclusion of the meeting?
I don't want to make this about that, right? We got a short week. We got a,
That's not a parking lot happenstance.
No.
What are we talking about?
No, that's bad. That's bad. I mean, really, this is disgusting.
Well,
by
he's trying to undermine the whole thing.
We talked at the car
again. I'll read it again.
Is it the office?
They stopped each other in the parking lot and said, "What's up?" No,
yeah.
The way Jalen just described it was they had a meeting.
Yeah,
a meeting is not you see the guy in the parking lot.
We may need to start building in the weekly. I just read AJ Brown's tweet because we're doing it now. All right, so here is his tweet from 13 minutes ago. AJ Brown quote: "Just to clear this up, this wasn't a meeting or a sit-down. I said, I don't recall, because it got painted like there was tension, and Say had to step in. That's not true. I was walking to my car, saw them, and stopped to talk. Nothing
but
more."
But how does "I don't recall" fix that issue that he feels was there? If he felt the issue was people are pinning him against Jalen and Saquon had to step in, the phrase "I don't recall" with this smug look doesn't help your case.
How is this locker room on the verge of falling apart so fast after Super Bowl?
Nick Sirianni.
But you know what? The vibes are horrendous.
They are terrible.
I'll tell you what. Like, they look, and the 2023 thing, we're well past that. Yeah. They're not even winning enough games for this to be considered like a fraudulent team. Like, they look like they just stink. I will say, though, they don't look like they're having fun at all.
No, they look miserable.
I mean, that's a parallel to that season.
The Giants look like they're having fun.
Yeah, unfortunately they do. They had a lot of fun last night at the
Sirianni
Eagles'
the other week talking about the guys got to enjoy the wins.
What happened? This all happened so fast.
Now, do you think Nick screams at Eagles fans by week 9?
That is the next phase of this.
It is. We're walking through the same thing all over again.
Yeah, this is
who gets fired mid-season? Who's the Sean Desai? It's not Vic Fangio, of course, but
Petula.
But who's going to step in and be the Matt Patricia?
Who's the
passing game coordinator?
I just keep reading this tweet. It's unbelievable.
It's insane.
Also,
dude,
why put this out?
Because he's a diva. No one likes to use the word with AJ Brown. He's a diva to a T.
All right. Right. The trade deadline is 3-4 weeks away. Is it above or below a 5% chance they get him out of here?
Well, it comes back to the stuff that makes it difficult with Howie. I don't know the ramification. There might be a world where it may be at borderline impossible. You know,
well, I'm not saying it's 50-50 or anything close to that. No. I think it's above 5% they trade him out of here this season.
And I don't think, like, we forget. They took on the worst dead cap hit in NFL history with Carson Wentz because it had to end.
This feels rotten.
You're right. It could be to that point.
This feels rotten.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Horrible game. And from a lot of different reasons, that was a horrible game. They looked unprepared. They looked unready. They didn't look like they were in the game the same way the Giants were from an intensity standpoint. You know, I was hoping the Eagles, after losing the Denver game, would come in with a new sense of, but all of the same stuff was there. And you look at this team, the Eagles at this point, and you say, well, okay, what do they do really well? What do they do? They don't run the ball really well. They don't pass the ball really well. They don't stop the run really well. You try to talk yourself into it. I think the Eagles are a point. Forget about Super Bowl. They need to spend the next 10 days figuring out how to be just a good, solid, efficient football team because they just got blown out by the Giants.
Yeah.
Without their best player.
Yeah, no, I agree, but I still think on face everybody feels the Eagles are a better team than the Giants.
Yes, I would
They just
hope
didn't
so.
Play well last night. The defense, to me, was the most disappointing thing about last night. Jalen missed throws last night that I certainly would imagine he wants to have back. You can't miss Devontae on that wide-open throw there. You got to give him a chance to catch that ball. And the pick, the interception you had down there when you were trying to stage a little bit of a comeback, down by 10, can't have that play there. AJ's wide open over the middle on that very play. I don't know why AJ wouldn't be your number one read on every friggin' pass play, okay? If he's not open, okay, then I'm going to somewhere else. But to immediately look somewhere else and never see AJ wide open, it's understandable why AJ is frustrated with the offense at times and him not getting the football. Last night I looked at that game and I said to myself, you know what? Maybe this is the ultimate wake-up call for them, right? You get a little bit of shell shock Sunday against the Broncos when you were up 17-3, and you kind of figure you can walk to this Giants game, undermanned or not, and you're going to win. And it didn't happen.
No.
And they showed up last night as if they thought it was just going to happen.
And you said this before the game, that the Giants were going to show up looking at you like you were vulnerable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was a big game for them.
How many sacks last night?
Three.
Three sacks last night. Could have been more.
Yep.
All right? The Giants were certainly looking to get after this offensive line, which I think is a big part of the reason why we can't have a sustained running game. How does Saquon get 31 yards on his first two carries, and then 27 yards the rest of the game?
Yeah, well, he was hit behind the line of scrimmage almost every time he touched the ball.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
It's unbelievable. And I hope they use these days to really have a come-to-Jesus moment with themselves and realize that this thing can turn dark real fast.
Yes.
And what I mean by that, I mean the bright light and celebratorial atmosphere that we have around this team coming off of what they did last year into this year can change in a heartbeat. The city, we as fans, doesn't take much to see the other side. And when you start losing games and expectations aren't met, you're at 4-2 now. You go to 4-3, this thing gets ugly.
Real quick.
Gets ugly real quick, and then you have to play with that swirling around your team all year long. So whatever is bothering this team internally, I suggest they get it fixed over the next 10 days.
And for everyone who laughed at comparing it to 23, I'm sorry.
Man, that's where we're at. That's where we're heading.
There are enough. It's not exactly the same, but it doesn't have to be exactly
the same.
Don't
have to be exactly the same.
You can point out the ways that it's different, but I can point out more ways that it's the same.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that that's how it's going to end up, but that is the fear.
Yep.
And really, it happening earlier in the season makes it, if that happens. What if the Eagles had played four more games that season? They would have lost all four games, you know?
And by the way, we've said this from week one, day one. From the first time seeing them on the field to the second week to the third week to the fourth week, we were able to pacify ourselves with wins. Now that's no longer. Two straight losses to two inferior opponents. One at home, blowing a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter. The other on the road to an inferior divisional opponent that was without... Did they have anybody besides the quarterback and the two rookies, a quarterback and the running back?
And Scatterboo. Yeah,
that's what I mean. Like that's all they had last night.
No.
And it's an embarrassing loss. So that's two straight games that we've been embarrassed in defeat. And again, the four wins that I heard everyone say, be happy with the wins. We're a 4-0 team. They just won the Super Bowl. Be happy. Well, now we can stop being happy. Right now, everybody can stop screaming, be happy we won the game, because now we've lost two straight games we shouldn't have lost. And this season, from an internal standpoint, looks like 2023. So we can quit ignoring this stuff now because there are losses there now. We can't hide behind the wins anymore.
I think the
ugly wins, by the way.
I think in the last three games in the second half, which is when they're supposed to be better, right? In the last three games in the second half, they've scored one touchdown, the Saquon wheel route touchdown.
It's unbelievable.
They didn't score last night. They didn't score in the second half in the Tampa game.
Yep.
And they didn't score. And they scored one. That one against Denver, and that's it. That's not a Super
not
Bowl
good,
team.
Man.
Yeah, that's not a Super
not
Bowl
good.
Team. Joining us now, joins us every Friday at 4, Ron Jaworski. You can see him on the NBC Sports Philly pre- and post-game show for the Eagles. Jaws, wish we were talking to you under different circumstances.
No doubt about it. 0-for-3 last night. Not a good batting average, but boy, what a disappointment by the Eagles. In two straight weeks, not going for the clunkers, and especially the way that they were physically dominated by the New York Giants. I never expected that. It was a wake-up call for everyone.
Yeah, do you think it will be? I guess that's my question. Is they haven't been physically dominated like they were last night all year, but they have been pretty sloppy, penalties in bad spots. The players keep talking about execution, and you wonder this far into the season, how do you get that all together?
Well, I still think the players are there. There's quality players. I think the coaches are still there. It's just a matter of putting it all together. And it's kind of interesting. You hear what other people are saying after the game, and you know, execution is kind of the buzzword, and that always comes out. But predictability is kind of the word that I caught from a lot of players, and that kind of brought my attention to really think a little deeper. And I got through about a quarter and a half of the game this morning watching on the coaches tape, and I noticed something the Giants were doing. I heard predictability. The Giants were playing what I call a creep defense, where the defensive line, the linebackers, they creep around the line of scrimmage, and they don't really get set until it looks like the play's about ready to start. And then they go to an adjustment. So there was some predictability in what we were doing offensively. There is no doubt in my mind. I'm going to get to that tape and dissect it a little bit deeper, but there's some predictability with the execution, what we're going to do, because the defense is now going to that creep defense where all linebackers stand up near the line of scrimmage. The defensive linemen don't get in three-point stance. And the minute they think the ball's going to be snapped, then they adjust to what they read as a predictable play.
So let's talk about the run game first, and just to jump off the predictability thing, because Saquon said after the game last night, he said, look, we were predictable last year, and we ran all over everybody anyway. So, you know, watching that last night, Saquon has two good runs, and then it seemed to me for the rest of the night, every time he touched the ball, they were on him behind the line of scrimmage. Is that an offensive line play issue, or is that a predictability issue?
I think it's a combination of both. And as we know, in sports, particularly football, with 11 guys on each side of the football, there's never one thing. But you know, and I agree, the offensive line just isn't playing well right now. And you could say, yeah, we got the talent, not making it happen. Saquon Barkley not running real well, missing some holes. After two plays, you know, it looked like two runs by Saquon looked like he was going to have a dominant game. It just didn't happen. And you know, you have to just. I always use the word I talk to you guys every single week is balance. You got to have balance on offense. You got to be able to run the football when you want to run it and impose your will. And you got to be able to throw the football when you want to, not when you know you fall behind the chains. I think we're like it seemed like we're one. I know we were 1-for-9 on third down, which is disgusting. With a team with this kind of talent, we 1-for-9 on third down. That's the money down. You know, for all the TV shows I've done throughout my career, I've always talked about third down, the most important down in football. That's the money down. That's where the players earn their money. You can't go 1-for-9 against the Giants defense that is really struggling with to stay healthy and have quality people back there. But clearly, we're predictable and we're not executing properly. And I still think there's enough talent there. And I like you said, Saquon said we're predictable. I think there's some good things about predictability. That's when you get to impose your will. We're going to run the football. I don't care who is on defense. That's when you start imposing your will. That's when your players down because we have the talent to impose your will, knock people backwards. Tell them the player we're going to run. If you're really good enough like we were a year ago, I'll tell you the player we're going to run, and we're still going to kick your butt.
Yeah. Jaws, how well is Jalen seeing the field out there? You go 1-for-9 on third down. Now, they weren't all third and passing situations. I would imagine some of those may have been runs, but you know, you're missing that much on third down. I would imagine there are plays that are there to be made, you know, similar to the Devontae Smith play where he overshot him. I'm just wondering how much can his play clean up a lot of this stuff?
Well, you know, the quarterback's always going to be, you know, getting too much credit when things are going well and too much discredit when things aren't going well.
Yeah.
And I still think Jalen's playing very good football. You know, he's missed some guys. In fact, I had next gen stats after last week run me a stat, and then Jalen had thrown the third most uncatchable balls in the NFL. The third most uncatchable balls. Yet his percentage of completion is close to 70%, but he's had a lot of guys open that he's missed. So, yeah, that's not my stat. That's next gen. That's the company that has those guys with the chips in their pads and all the other stuff that give you the high tech analysis. And it was kind of an alarming stat to me. That means he's not been throwing the football accurately. And I can't blame it on Jalen. The interception, yes, certainly was his fault. The throw's got to be low on the outside, not high on the inside, and he get picked up. But for the most part, I've almost felt this since last year. I'll go back to last year when he was on the streak of interceptions. He had gone 8 games throwing at least one interception. And after the bye week, he stopped throwing picks. So I think he became very concerned about throwing interceptions, which you should be. But he just became a guy that almost became too careful with the football, not willing to take chances. And rather than take the chance, throw the ball, you know, away, take a sack, or just not deliver the football on time. So, you know, I think these are all correctable issues. He hasn't played poorly. I think he's playing very well, as I said earlier. But it's a team right now that's kind of looking for who they are. What is the identity of this football team? It's not defense. It's not offense. And certainly not special teams. We can't even field the kickoff. But certainly I think it's a team that we thought we knew this football team. And after I started looking at tape this morning, I said, I don't know who this team is. I don't know who this team is right now. I hope we figure it out real quick.
I tell you, Josh, you mentioned the phase of the game that I think is certainly being overlooked today when it talks about last night's game, and that's the defense. That may have been the worst defensive performance I've seen in a while under Vic Fangio. Really, maybe be the worst one under Vic Fangio as the defensive coordinator. I missed tackles last night. The Giants converting on third down 11 out of 16 times, 3-for-3 in the red zone. I mean, a rookie quarterback with no real weapons out there. His best weapons weren't even playing, and they're able to put up 34 points last night, Joe. It's just a disappointing effort from the defense last night. Really, on all three levels of the defense, it was disappointing.
Well, missed tackles number one. I mean, you guys are whiffing all over the place. You know, it's just amazing. But, you know, I'm chuckling in disdain because I'm thinking about Jackson Dart.
Right.
Cam Scadaboo.
Yeah.
Who the hell are these guys?
Yeah.
What? They kicked our butt. I mean, they physically – I've never seen an Eagles team get – manhandled like this. This is a world championship football team. Didn't look like that. We physically got beat up.
Yeah.
On defense.
Yep.
That's where we always hang our hat in Philadelphia on that defense. There's got to be some record. I know Vic Fangio is probably the most disappointing guy on the planet this morning. And his defense put out a clunker like that against. And how about you got your third and fourth string wide receivers out there?
Right.
You know, you got guys learning how to play offense on the offensive line, and to get a handle like that, it's totally disappointing. And to me, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
Wow. I think
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
You know, I those defense, man.
I'm with you, Jaws.
He made his career on playing defense. So you see it, I see it, and the fans see it. It was not good. It was ugly.
I think the concern is we all agree the talent's there, right? And I think you said this earlier. You just look at the team and you say, well, what are they doing well?
it's pretty hard to point to anything. They're not throwing the ball well consistently. They're not running the ball well consistently. They're not stopping the run. They certainly didn't stop the Broncos from passing the ball. They didn't stop the Bucs from passing the ball in the second half. The guy they traded for to receive kicks can't hold on to them. I think my fear is this just feels like a classic Super Bowl hangover year. That's what it feels like to me, and I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I after the last 2 weeks, I feel the way. It actually kind of, you know, we saw this happening, guys. And you know, when you're winning, you sometimes ignore it. You ignore the truth. But we weren't playing good football and we were winning. Yeah, we're playing good enough to win.
Yep.
But we weren't playing the football we've become accustomed to watching going back to our Super Bowl season a year ago. I got great confidence in Nick Sirianni's coaching staff. I really do. I mean, what they did last year was remarkable. I know how much, you know, time they put into it. I know how much the players have bought into what they're teaching, you know, the cohesiveness of the organization as a whole. You always know Jeffrey and Howie are always committed to doing whatever it takes to win. So the organization is committed to winning. They're just – I said it on the postgame show last night. You know, we watched them the last couple of weeks. There's just something missing. And I've tried to take my 17 years of experience as an NFL quarterback to try to figure it out. I can't. There's just something missing, and I can't put my finger on it. Maybe it'll play out, and we'll say, oh, that's what was going wrong. But there's just something missing in this football team right now.
All right. Thank you, Jaws. I hope. Now, the next time we talk to you will be a couple of days before the Vikings game. We have two more games before the bye.
That's supposed to be an easy win, right, Spike? Who's going to cover Justin Jefferson the way the secondary played last night?
Yeah, I can't think. Well, you get beat down like that by the Giants, who just lost by 12 points to the Saints. There are no easy wins anymore. You know, I don't think they can look at anything like that on the schedule. So
I'm with you.
We will talk to you a week from today. Thank you, as always, Jaws.
Appreciate it, brother.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
Yep.
Speaking of the Eagles last night,
where
does that, in the Nick Sirianni era, where does that rank in terms of embarrassing defeats? It has to be up there.
I mean, it's certainly top five. If you want to include 2021, that loss to the Raiders was really bad in Las Vegas. What?
Top five?
Last
night?
In terms of embarrassing losses?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
It was rough.
I got five losses just from 2023.
Yeah, but I think 2023, there were bad losses in there for sure. I do think this has a feeling of, it feels like 2023, and a feeling of, it was an eye-opening loss for me. Like, it was a loss where this thing is broken. It does not mean it can't be put back together. Mm-hmm. Nick's good at putting things back together. They have the 10 days to do it. But that product on the field is a broken team. Like, I don't want to hear anything about scheme from anybody. This is not about running more from under center. This team is broken at the core right now. They can't do anything well. They're playing sloppy. And, like, they got to put it back together. And so we'll see if they can do it. But this is not, like, I have my idea of who is the most to blame, but this is not one person.
Are you keeping secrets?
I think it's Jalen. Jalen was awful last night.
Awful?
Well, all right, awful strong. I gave him a D.
Man.
I gave him a D.
Right.
He was really
well, you
bad,
started an F, by the way.
Yeah.
I upped him from an F to a D.
Okay.
I do think there were some encouraging signs in the
passing. I thought he played well in the first half.
Yeah, but then when you miss that Devontae throw, when you make the interception, and he's doing it again where there are plays to be made that he is not making. And it's not the ones that are obvious like Devontae. Like in the, I think it was the third quarter, they're 5 yards from the end zone. AJ is open for a touchdown, and it's not the interception play. It's another one where if Jalen just throws it when AJ cuts, it's a touchdown. But instead, he holds it. He's looking that way. He scrambles to the right, and he ends up throwing it out of the back of the end zone to Saquon. There's just too many times where guys are open, and Jalen's not throwing it.
Okay. Guys or AJ? Because it seems like Dallas Goedert gets all his targets.
Well, I was going to say, so I would say AJ. Yeah, I would say AJ.
Yeah.
Because Goddard's open, Devontae,
So here, all I'm doing is trying to workshop this thing. Because I think it's more of a them issue. Than
AJ
it is.
And Jalen.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So can we go from AJ being upset about not getting targets to possibly he's pissed the quarterback off the way he don't want to throw him the ball anymore? You cause all this noise around the team, around the passing game, which indirectly is having fingers pointed at me, and everybody wants to blame me for you not getting the ball. You think at some point the quarterback gets pissed off about this? Like, in other words, would Kevin Petullo get pissed off if everything was being pointed at him like he's the reason? I would imagine yes. Now, he's not going to say it. He's not going to say it, but he's going to get irritated by that when he knows he's putting all this work in to put these schemes in, to put these plays in, and to have them go out there and run them and execute them only to be set, only to be viewed as you're the problem with the team. You're the first-year OC. You don't know what you're doing. I'm only saying this to say is that we need to start thinking about the, I guess, the trickle-down effect of AJ's unhappiness as an individual player and what that's doing. Now, the quarterback, because he's been thrown in the eye of the storm, right? I don't know. I'm seeing times when he looks there and he won't throw the ball.
I agree. Yeah.
So subconsciously, maybe he don't want to throw the ball to AJ. I don't know that.
Yeah, that's a question only he could answer.
Exactly. Yeah. All I'm saying is that's the type of stuff that needs to be worked out, and that's why their relationship and whether or not they are getting along does matter. Because, again, I'll say it, subconsciously, this may be happening. I'm not forcing the ball to AJ. Mm-hmm. You know, what happened in Tampa? They were running the offense in the first half. They come out in the second half. Now, all of a sudden, we're going to force A.J. Brown the ball. He almost threw an interception once or twice in that game.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if the quarterback has gotten fed up with all this. Even though he's been speaking the company line, I'm wondering, is he being affected by this thing about A.J. not getting the football?
Yeah, so Jalen's one of the hardest players I've covered to get a read on, but would it shock me if he was annoyed by all this? Of course not.
He's like, human, right?
He's getting asked all these questions about it, right? Obviously, him and AJ don't seem to have a great relationship, so it's not like it's his friend doing this, right? Like, if a friend was doing it, you could almost be like, all right, man, like, you could talk about it in text or whatever. So, yeah, I don't know if Jalen's annoyed by it. I would just guess he would because it seems like an annoying situation to be in. But I just think on the field right now, they're just not operating at anywhere close to the level they need to operate at.
And we all agree with that.
Like,
we all agree with
that. The question is, how do you turn it around? And I think there's layers to it. Like, the offensive line, I thought, actually had good stretches last night. Brett Toth did not play well. Like, he hurt them last night.
In pass pro, they played pretty well. I thought running-wise,
I agree with that.
It didn't look good. I mean, when I went through it again, aside from those first couple of runs with Saquon, every time he ran the ball, he was getting touched behind the line of scrimmage. Now, pass protection, that's part of the when you look at Jalen's stats, they look fine from last night, right? Mm-hmm. But then you start looking at some of the completions, specifically in the second half. There's a lot of – he has the ball for a long time. Mm-hmm. And that is one thing that is similar to previous years, is him not doing it right away. So I think it's a few different things on there.
But all that being said, if he hits Devontae, they're only down three at that point. The defense was horrendous. Well, I know we don't talk about defense, or at least I don't talk about the defense.
Oh, yeah, we have, yeah.
Yeah, I don't seem to
talk
about
it. It was terrible last
night. They were awful, right? And, like,
they were the reason they lost last night.
Yeah, they were definitely.
In my opinion, they were the number one reason why they lost last night.
They put them in a hole early. Yeah. And this is a thing, too. There's a lot of, like, they're predictable on offense now, right? I think one of the reasons they've become predictable is because they get put in predictable spots. First and 15, first and 20, down 10. Like,
third and 8,
They're putting themselves in situations where, of course, they have to throw the ball. Or if you're down 10, of course, you have to change how you do things. So do I think that there are tendencies in the offense that are predictable? Yeah, but I think there probably always have been. Saquon said it last night. I thought it was perfectly put. Like, we were predictable last year. Everyone knew we were running the ball. It didn't stop us because they executed better.
Yeah.
So I just think right now they are not executing. And that's not fun for people to hear because everyone loves these players, right? Mm-hmm. They won the Super Bowl last year. They are great players. They're not playing like great players right now. If you ignore last year, nobody would say anyone on this offense is top five at their position right now. Like, none of them are playing like it.
Yeah.
So that's a hard truth to swallow, but that is what's happening with the team.
Yeah.
A weird defense thing. So Jalen Carter, the heel thing pops up in the middle of the week. And then he was on the field before the game with his agent before the game yesterday. And then they say he's out for the game. Like, did the agent say Jalen's not playing on this field?
I think Jalen has been hurt and, like, he needs some time. It would not surprise me if he didn't play against the Vikings.
Okay.
I also think the turf last night did play into it. It's
that's
bad
what
turf. Like, everyone that had a leg thing, just Quinyon stopped playing the second he hurt his hamstring. Like, I don't think they want people out on the field that have that have leg injuries. But no, I mean, the defense was bad, and Jalen Carter's not having a good year. Like, he'll probably still get a blank check at the end of it, but he's not having a great year.
See, I don't feel as bad. I'm encouraged still by the passing game last two weeks.
That's what's crazy is there's been real stretches where, I mean, last night they had a sequence, 17 yards to AJ, 16 yards to Devontae, 17 to Dotson, 10 to Goddard, right in a row. Like, and when they're executing, they can still look great. And that's the hope, is that they can put it together. But, you know, to bring the Phillies back, like, you become who you are, like, in the playoffs over the regular season, and they're a sloppy team right now. Yeah. And that's my concern, is that they're going to put this together, and then come playoff time, there'll be a personal foul. There'll be a Jalen Holt. Like, these problems there, these bad habits that they're getting, I'm worried are going to stick for the whole year, and then that's what's going to hurt them.
You know what I'm most worried about? The vibes.
100%
agree. That's what I'm most worried about. I'm worried about the vibes around the offense and AJ with Jalen in this passing game. That's what's going to sink this team ultimately. You got two of the most prominent players on the team, and if there's any tension there or they're not on the same page, other people can feel it. The offense sort of suffers from it. We got a first-year coordinator under pressure to get him the ball and all this other stuff. Whereas if everybody's on the same page and everybody's pulling in the same direction, at least I know we all are trying to achieve the same thing.
Well, and then
it just doesn't feel like that to me.
There was more. So AJ, after the game, it was funny. They asked him. I don't know who asked him about Kevin Petrullo.
That was me.
And he was glowing.
Yeah.
Kevin Petrullo is doing a great job. Blah 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 blah. Then they ask him about the meeting, the Saquon. He laughs and says, "You'll have to ask them about it." I think he just didn't want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. But then Twitter again this afternoon from AJ, just to clear this up, there was not a meeting or a sit down. I said, I don't recall, because it got painted like there was tension and Say had to step in. That's not true. I was walking to my car, saw them, and I stopped to talk. Nothing more.
Okay.
What you got on that?
All right. Yeah. So I talked to Saquon last week. Like, I think what they're pushing back on is the idea that it was a team meeting. I don't think they want this painted as, and when I say they, I mean like the three of them.
As some sit down.
As some, like, they're up in room 302 on the second floor with the door shut talking. Now,
that's how it was painted.
That's how it was painted, right?
Yeah, so I think that's a couple hours.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I think that's where they're pushing back on it.
Right.
I mean, I think they all are acknowledging it happened. Now, you know, talking for a few hours outside, honestly, like, I view it almost more as a positive now. If he was actually, let's take him at his word. He was walking outside. He saw Jalen and Saquon. And he stopped and talked to them.
Yeah,
I think that's a great sign. Like, for as much as we think Jalen and AJ don't talk,
that's not a great sign, Elliot.
Well, it's a great sign given the circumstances.
Well, because the substance matters. Like, what did they talk about? Did we walk away feeling good? Did we bro hug?
I'm just happy they talked. Where I'm at.
Yeah, but was it a productive talk? Is the whole point. If they still walked away feeling the same way, then what does it matter?
That's a good point.
It really doesn't matter. I'm not saying they don't ever speak to each other, but there is a feeling around them that they don't have to do anything other than communicate at the bare minimum.
Agreed.
Say hello. Give me the play out of the huddle, break. Like, that's the feeling I get from AJ. Like, did you talk after the play? Nope. Like, are you guys doing any extra studying? Nope.
Yep.
Well, I talked to him.
Devontae, we talk in the meeting room.
Like, it seems like it's at the bare minimum. And that doesn't, to me, foster a healthy winning atmosphere, a culture. That's all I'm saying, is that these guys are so important to the temperature that's in the room, that if they are off, everybody else feels it, even though nobody wants to say anything about it, and it shows up on the field. I don't know. Maybe he's missing Devontae. I don't know. How much work are they doing after practice? Like, how much work is getting done after practice? Extra reps, deep balls. I don't know. He missed AJ on the deep ball. Did they work on it the next 3 days? If we run this play again, you know what I mean? Like if you're trying to get things fixed, you're doing the extra things together to get them fixed, not just trying to basically sweep it under the rug and say, well, I don't know what y'all talking about.
Well, that's what we heard Travis Kelce say about what he and Mahomes do. If they miss it, that's the first thing.
Especially because we know they're hard workers.
Yeah.
You know? But what I would say, too, to your vibe thing, I actually thought a great example of what the problem with the vibes are was across the sideline last night. I don't know how good Jackson Dart is. I don't know if he'll end, like, whatever. I know watching last night, he helped the vibe of the Giants last night. He, since he's gone in, has upped their play. They believe in him. He celebrates with people. He, like, there is a feeling with that Giants team I have not seen in a long time. Jalen is not doing that for the Eagles right now. And AJ is involved in that as well. Like, the to me, they looked like a Super Bowl hangover team last night, playing a team that was young, hungry, motivated, fast. Like, the vibe of the team, to your point. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, no, totally.
And I think it starts at the top. And you saw that with Jackson Dart.
And let me make this clear. I'm not blaming either one of the guys. I'm just telling you what my observation is. I don't know who's at fault and who should initiate.
Well, blaming them together.
Yeah. I'm blaming them together. Right. I'm blaming them together. Like, this is a collective thing here. We saw this in 2020. The Wentz thing.
Yeah.
Wentz, the vibe is off. Nobody, you know what I mean? I'm not saying any one of them are at the Wentz level, but the point was is that it was clear that the vibe was off with him in the locker room, and it affects everything else. That's 100%. All I'm saying. They got to get that fixed. Until they get that fixed, they're not – They may win games just on sheer talent, but being a championship team?
Nah. Like, the scheme thing is so secondary right now to what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's not happening.
You've been listening to the best of the Eagles on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.